Hi, I'm Meredith Eisenberg.
And I'm Jasper Blake.
And welcome to Module 4 of the Fast and Focus Marketing Plan. This should be the time where you start to get excited because you're coming up with the actual strategy you are going to use to achieve that goal that you chose in the last module.
Yep, so this is the nitty-gritty where you actually do get to go and do stuff.
And, you know, one of the things about marketing strategies is that, you know, we were talking about, you know, being in that office with the buffet of the donuts. I mean, everyone's worked there once. You know, like there's this woman who has this candy dish on her desk, or the boss that keeps buying the pizza and the donuts and the this and the that. And you end up like not having any nutritious food because you're just grazing on all the snacks. That's the same thing. So you want to choose one single marketing strategy that will get you to your goal versus doing a bunch of different things and not doing any of them well.
Yeah, and you want to focus on the thing that makes it easier for you, because you don't want to choose something that's really complicated, but you want to make it efficient and you want to make it successful.
And then keep in mind that we are not asking you to get married to this one marketing strategy forever, to be the girl who just does Twitter or whatever. It's 3 months. So really focusing on that for 3 months. And what you'll find if you do that is you'll get residual benefits, that whatever you do will continue working past those 3 months, but you've really put the time and effort in to develop a system that works over the long term.
Yeah, so it's doing one thing properly rather than a whole bunch of things, you know, half-heartedly.
Right. And so the first thing to consider, and I know people don't like to hear this because sometimes I think the internet is this world of like limitless money and possibilities, but to actually consider the cost of what it is you want to do and look at your current earnings and say, all right, what percentage of my budget can I really spend on marketing and keep my business afloat? And you want it to be like some flat amount that if you spent that much and you didn't make it back, your business would not go out of business.
Yeah, it's almost a bit like gambling, really. It's what can I afford to lose if nothing comes of it, you know? With something like Facebook ads or, even Google ads, if you know that for every dollar you spend, you're going to get $3 back, then that's a wise investment. But if you don't know that, then, you know, you've got to be a bit more judicious.
Yeah, and there's this whole sort of thing about, you know, invest and the money will appear. Really, it doesn't always work that way. And that's like the number one reason why these sorts of businesses fail is that people overinvest in things that they can't afford. So make sure that, you know, whatever you choose is something that you really can afford to do and not worry about it. So here are some questions that you can ask to help you determine the best strategy to go with your goal. The first is, what is the easiest strategy that you can implement right now?
Have a think about what has worked well in the past. That obviously you're trying to achieve the same or a similar goal, but if it's worked in the past, it could well work again now. And of course, you already know how to do it.
And if it's working well now, think about how could you scale that? How could you take that to the next level? And finally, another question to ask is, if there's something that you've always wanted to try and it's in your marketing budget to try it, then that is a great thing to choose. So one thing to think about is the size of your audience. And, you know, if your audience is small, doing a lot of things that require your audience to opt in or pay attention, the numbers are probably not going to work for you. For example, a webinar is not really a good beginner strategy because you have to look at the numbers. So let's say you have 100 people on your mailing list. Maybe out of those 100 people, I'm going to say because you're new, you have a higher open rate. So I'll give you 30%, but that's high. Mm. But usually people with small mailing lists have higher because their lists are newer, right? So 30% open in any given email, maybe you'll get And this is like really good, a 10% click-through rate on that. So you're already down to 3 people. And then half of those people sign up for the webinar and half of those people come to the webinar. We're down to fractions of people already.
Yep.
So that wouldn't be a really good strategy for you to use if your audience is small. If your audience is big, it's a great way to leverage yourself and to reach many people at once. So what you do is going to be different for new and established businesses. What are some good ways, Jesper, if you're brand new, to what would be some good marketing strategies?
Yeah, well, the prime one, especially when you're first starting out, is to talk to the people you know. And when I say talk, I mean actually talk.
So, on the phone?
Yeah.
Not via email, like call them.
Yeah, absolutely. Or get together over coffee or whatever it is. But obviously, those people know you, so it's going to be a much easier conversation than it would be to a colder audience. So, yeah. And then with those, you don't need like huge numbers. You're not talking about talking to 1,000 people. You're looking to talk to maybe 20 people.
Right. And you know, if you talk to the right 20 people, that could set your business up for a year or two.
Yep.
So it just really depends. So if you're just, again, starting out with a few people, reaching out to others in your market who have a similar audience who do something a little bit different, you can build a lot through collaborations and promoting each other to each other's audience and all of that. We've had a lot of growth in our list with joint promotions and being part of giveaways and doing those sorts of things. Attending networking events and meetups to make contacts. And then also approaching blogs and podcasts whose audience might be interested in your message.
Yeah, and that ties into the first one in terms of finding those people who do something similar, but not the same as you, but complementary. And those are great sort of vehicles for doing joint blog posts. And that way you're tapping into their readership and they're tapping into your readership. So it's good for both.
And making sure that your social media profiles are up to date and that you're interacting. Now, okay, I say that.
Yeah.
But that is not just chitty chat. I mean, you want to be very intentional and actually bring people through a process where you're sending them information to get to know them better, where you're checking in with them on regular intervals, where the conversation is somewhat a sales conversation. And then the other thing that you should consider doing pretty early on is creating a really good piece of content and a lead magnet so you can start building that list so other strategies will work better for you in the future.
Yeah, and the whole question of lead magnets is a whole course on its own. So, but most of you probably know what we mean by that.
Right. And so if you already have a customer base, and Facebook ads are a great way to do it. They're getting more expensive. People are moving over to LinkedIn ads even, Google ads. But, if you know that something's going to work, then it's worth investing in it. And if you've put your pixel on your website and you're starting to attract your audience, then that can make a lot of sense.
Yeah, the real trick with Facebook ads is that you need to test them out. So you do a few variations with just a little money for a short time and see what's working. And then when you find one that works, has got a really good conversion rate and is working well, then that's the one to put the money into.
Another thing is an email campaign for current customers with information about new products. So, giving people coupons is also really good. Thank you for buying from me before. Here's how you can buy from me again. And then also automated post-purchase follow-ups. I mean, this is the place where I think, which is why we have a class coming out about this too, where I think people really leave money on the table. There is a lot of post-purchase follow-up stuff.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is a lot of people think that the process ends with the sale.
And those are your best prospects to buy from you again, people who have bought from you before. Yeah. So don't ignore your current customers, because that is definitely leaving money on the table.
And the old adage that it's far cheaper to keep a customer than it is to gain a new one is very true.
And so some other ways to treat your customers well, I talked about coupons. Surveys are also good, because then you can get a sense of who your customers are and you can attract more people like them because you know where they're coming from and why exactly they're buying from you.
Yeah, sort of how did we do? Is there anything we could do better? Just simple
live demos. Like if you have a product that can be demoed, doing a demo on Facebook Live is amazing. Or even just periodically popping onto Facebook Live and saying hello to your people. That way they get to know you and they get to know your face and they get to trust you. We did a podcast forever and it was helpful, but it was also interesting because I have a kind of a unique and quirky voice. Sorry, guys. And so I've been to a couple conferences where I say something and someone comes running across the room. I recognized your voice. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. And then also streamlining your customer onboarding process and making it as smooth and frictionless as possible. You can be high touch and high tech. At the same time, your customers will love you and they will keep coming back to you again and again and again. So if you already like have an active social media or blog following, some things you could consider doing is increasing the number of times you're blogging to 3 to 4 times a week and adding a way for people to get on your mailing list in each of those blog posts.
Yeah, blogging should be very deliberate. You're not just writing content for the sake of it. It's there for a purpose, and it should always have a call to action at the end.
Conducting or participating in a giveaway event, that is a great way to build your list. We haven't had a giveaway yet, per se. We're sort of working on one with the Escape Plan Kit. But we've participated in quite a few of them, and every time our list grows, and so it's been a good thing. And then running challenges to implement your products. And that gets people involved, because that is the main thing that will stop a customer from coming back, is literally they just buy your product and then they forget about you. It's not even that they didn't like it. It's just they've moved on to something else. You're no longer their bright, shiny object. So you got to put a little bit of Windex on yourself and shine yourself up again. And a way to do that is by running a challenge.
Yeah, and this is really purposeful social media. It's not just posting, you know, about what you ate for breakfast that morning. This is purposeful social media that gets interactions and people talking about your products.
And one way to do that is to set up a newsfeed or alert so you're notified of trends that relate to your business. And so then you can post to social media commenting on what's really hot and really new right now. And then also scheduling your posts ahead. So schedule your posts a month ahead of time, but then check them daily and add more time-sensitive things as they come in. And you want a good mix between informational content and promotional content, because otherwise you become like CNN broadcast, and it's just like the same thing over and over again. And so I unsubscribe from people who only send me promo content and nothing else.
But again, it's, you know, getting away from the multitasking. Sometimes what you want to do is just say, okay, I'm going to sit down for half a day and just schedule all my blog posts. It's one task, get it all the way done, out the way, and then you don't have to worry about it again till next month.
Right. Another thing to do is if you have a website that's actually getting traffic, then you want to figure out how to make it convert better. And so one way is to run some split tests and to optimize your conversions. And if you don't have traffic going to your website, don't do a split test because the results won't be very accurate. And also you can identify the main sources of traffic and figure out how to invest more time and energy in those things that are working for you.
Yeah. So if, for instance, if you're getting a lot of people coming to your website because of things you're posting on Facebook, then obviously you want to put more effort into that Facebook because it's working for you.
You can make your website prettier and make your calls to action more visible by making them graphic. And then also retargeting traffic with related offers. I mean, this is one of those things that people don't do. But the big boys, I guarantee you, they are doing it. Which is why you get followed around by things, and you should never share social media accounts with anyone you ever want to surprise with anything.
Yeah, whenever I look at new guitars on some guitar website, then sure enough, Facebook will plonk guitar ads in front of me for the next month.
And so if you have an email list, even if it's a teeny tiny one, sending out a re-engagement campaign, that's a good idea to do periodically anyway. probably once every couple of months just to clean out the deadwood from your list. Your list isn't going to grow as fast, but you'll know how many people you have, and your open rate will be better and your emails will be delivered more. And there are a whole bunch of good reasons to do that. And it can be as simple as, hey, name, do you still want to hear about this? Yes or no? So that's one way. You can also offer them a freebie. You can, you know, give them something for re-engaging. You can send out a survey to find out what your subscribers are needing and what they're wanting to hear about. Whenever I do that, I'm always like surprised. Like, I'm like, oh, you want to learn about that? Oh, I thought everyone knew about that.
Yeah.
But then they don't. So that's, I'm always pleasantly surprised with the surveys. It's always worth the time. And reviewing your email campaign metrics. So basically, you know, how many people are opening your emails? If it's not as many as you would like, go back to what I was saying about cleaning out your list, but then also look at the headline. How many people are clicking the emails? That's all about your copy and your offer. And finding ways to optimize the headlines and optimizing the call to actions. So all of that works better so that you can get more bang for your buck and, you know, time, money, and effort by making all of this work as well as possible.
But if you're not tracking those metrics, then you won't know, whether it's working at all or if changes you make a difference.
Another thing you can do once your list is big enough is segmenting your list into each product and service and category and sending very targeted content. I know that's really hard to swallow for some of you with lists under 1,000 people, but it's worth doing right from the start because then people are getting stuff that is really tailored to them and they're likely to stay on your list longer.
Yeah, really, the more relevant the information is that they're receiving, the more likely they are to actually take action on it.
And then you can also create exclusive offers for different segments of your audience. So your customers get one really awesome, you know, offer. People who've been on your list a long time get something else. Newbies get more of an introductory thing. And so you can sort of split people out and give them the thing that's appropriate to them.
Yeah, and obviously sending out coupons to loyal customers is a great way to bring them back again. My wife is a big fan of Kohl's, and they do this really well. They give you what they call Kohl's cash. So you bought a whole bunch of stuff, they give you some Kohl's cash, which means you've got to come back to spend that.
Exactly.
So they keep you coming back all the time like that.
It's just has had me in their evil net forever. Like, they were constantly getting 40%, 50% off coupons. I felt bad for the people who went there the first time and had to pay full price for everything.
I'm sure nobody actually pays full price.
Yeah, I think they find a way anyway. Yeah. Creating additional content. Content's a good thing to email out. I mean, you want a balance. You don't want it to be sales, sales, sales all the time. So you want tips and good offers. And then also, you know, again, that customer onboarding sequence is really important. You don't want people to feel lost at the beginning. You want to, you know, go for something that makes sense. And so if you already have a tactic that is working well for you, then one thing that you could do is look for ways to expand it or add it or scale it. So if you're doing really well just with Facebook posts, you might want to move up to Facebook ads and see how that works for you. Finding a way to better fine tune and optimize the results. Or maybe you want to do something else. You know, okay, I've got that tactic. It's working really well. I've been doing Facebook ads. They've been delivering for me, but I don't want to put all my eggs in one increasingly tipsy little basket. So I'm going to try LinkedIn ads now and see how well that works for me. So with that goal in mind, are you ready for this? This is the big moment, Jasper. Choose the strategy that you are going to use for the next 3 months.
One strategy.
But it can be a big strategy and it can be broken down into something smaller and more manageable. So your strategy could be, I am going to help sales by really revamping my phone outreach program. So that's pretty big. And then you can look at the progress that you're making over the next 3 months to determine whether that strategy is working or not. And you need to come up with some way of actually measuring the results.
Yeah, so that could be like different steps all the way along. So going back to Meredith's analogy about the webinar. So again, you know, it's if you're selling that webinar through maybe your email list, then obviously you want to measure how many people open that email, how many people click on the webinar, how many people sign up, how many people turn up, how many people follow the call to action, and how many sales does that lead to. So all those different numbers need to be tracked along the way, because if there's something wrong with any of those steps along the way, it'll soon become really apparent, and then you can target in on which bit of that is not working properly.
And you know, I would take some time and, like with the goal section, brainstorm a number of different paths to get to the same place, and narrow them down until you found really the strategy that you think is going to work. And then before you start implementing, just to sort of check in and make sure you haven't, you know, fallen too far astray or climbed up the banks of the river and run away or whatever, review your foundations. Just go back and make sure that the strategies that you're using, you know, really are congruent and authentic with the core values that you've set for your business. And so, Jasper, what do you think the homework is going to be for this?
Yeah.
I think it is going to be putting together a marketing strategy. And so you're going to fill out your rapid results marketing cheat sheet. You're going to determine how much money you're willing to spend in the next 3 months. And with this, you want it to be ever so uncomfortable, but realistic. So it's money you can afford to lose. Don't make it too small of an amount, because what you pay for, you sort of get what you pay for with marketing, I've found. But also don't mortgage your house.
Yeah, so if you go through the workbook, it'll take you through the various factors that you need to be sort of looking at when making this decision. And then once you've been through that, you can pick that one marketing strategy or one step in a larger strategy that you're going to be using for the next 3 months.
All right, so we have got our goal and we've got our strategy soon, based on a really solid foundation. So the very last step of this, which we are going to cover in module 5, is putting all of this together and making your action plan to make this happen.